Wave Radio.
Hey, this is Gary Kay, and you are listening to my Daily Rants and Raves. Daily Rants and Raves are part of the Rave Radio Podcast Network, and we're going to be doing a lot of podcasting this week. And it is the day before ISC opens, and we always do an annual ISC pre-show podcast. And I'm joined by Joel Rollins, the host of the Week podcast, and also the editor
Hi,
of
Gary.
Rave Rental. Hey, Joel, how are you?
I'm doing great. I've been here for 2 days, so for a change, the night before the show opens, I'm awake.
Yeah, it's so we're all here in Amsterdam. We're actually podcasting live from the Kramer booth. Kramer is one of the bigger exhibitors here at ISC. And, of course, ISC is now a four-day, the world's largest AV show, but also the first four-day show. What do you think?
I'm not sure I can make 4 days of a show this big. Annabelle and I have been walking around the Rye already today, and I think we've seen a quarter of it, and we spent several hours just to get from hall to hall. Of course, freight's still in the aisles.
Yeah, but I mean, that's exactly right. The show floor right now looks like still in the setup mode. It doesn't look at all like it's finished. But, of course, it'll all open tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We'll be back here at 9 a.m. But let's first talk about what we've noticed on the show floor.
And actually, for those of you who read Rave Rental and Staging, you already know what this show floor looks like.
Yeah.
I've been around. I've seen a couple of things that I thought were really cool. The curved 4K dual-sided LEDs at LG mm-hmm. were amazing.
Yeah, and so there are going to be a tremendous number of new display technologies here. And both LED and OLED will probably dominate the new technology sector, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, especially OLED. I mean, OLED's been coming for 10 years now, you know?
Yeah.
And the best OLEDs I have are in my Sony HMZ-1 virtual reality headset. They're small, right? So we're starting to see larger ones. We've had really good small OLEDs for a long time. And most of the viewfinders in most of my cameras are OLED now.
Yeah.
You know, but we're finally starting to see panels of significant size.
Yeah, that's one thing that's going to be exciting. The other thing that's going to be exciting is the large format projector market's about to shook up a little bit with a launch that Epson is going to make tomorrow. I can't talk much about it yet today, but they showed me a private preview today of a very bright 3LCD projector. And I won't tell you about the technology it's using because I don't want to get slapped around because I'm not supposed to talk about it, but I'm going to tell you the rentals. Well, suffice it to say that that Epson will be entering the rental staging market in a very, very big way.
Well, you know, one of the things that my readers will be familiar with is the idea that just being bright doesn't make it a staging piece.
That's true. It'll be interesting. They showed me some interesting lens technology that I think will be impressive, way to approach it. Speaking of which, I went by both the Christie and NEC booths. Both of them are showing very bright projectors as well. Christie's pretty much sort of revolutionized the market with that Boxster product a couple of years ago when it first came out. And they've got some follow-up products to that. Very impressive stands. But one of the things that I've noticed pre-show is how many companies are coming out with, quote, collaboration.
Oh, unbelievable. I went by Sennheiser today to take a look at what they have coming out in mics. I mean, I love Sennheiser microphones. But their booth's going to be about collaboration, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and you see the word everywhere now. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously the hot point of the whole show.
Yeah, I mean, that's everybody saying, even if it's not a collaboration product, if you put the word collaboration in there, it'll get written up as a collaboration product. I find it interesting to see how a microphone company is going to say they're making a collaboration tool, but certainly you use audio in systems too, right?
Take a look at the interview with Sennheiser that Annabelle and I are posting today. We have a pre-show interview, and you'll see what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm interested to see that. And of course, there's a lot of collaboration products coming out. In fact, we're standing in one of the booths here, Kramer. They're coming out with a new collaboration product that they'll talk about tomorrow. We're not able to talk about it yet today. And then you've got, you know, it all started with the Barco ClickShare some 5 years ago.
Yep.
Barco's come out with a new version of ClickShare, the 100 to 200 series, which they'll launch here at the show officially. And then they've got some other products coming in the future. But one of the features is 4K, and another of the features is more compatibility with all devices, not just iOS and Windows devices.
Yeah, I looked at the embargoed stuff, and I'm, you know, it's like it's hard to be here in front of a microphone and not talk about it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that going on here at the show. This is going to be an exciting show.
Yeah, it's big. It's going to be, like I said, 4 days, first 4-day show. for ISE, first four-day AV show in the industry's history. And this is a combination of home AV and commercial AV products. We were upstairs when we came, before we came down in the meeting room, we were both talking about how we were impressed with the Savant remote.
Yeah, yeah. So Savant's got some really interesting stuff. I'm in the middle of building a smart home, as a lot of my listeners will know. So I'm going to spend some time over there because not only that, they're very Mac friendly. Yeah. So Savant's important to me.
Yeah, so there's a lot of home AV stuff here. You're going to see all the companies that you saw at Cedia and some new European introductions. 1,200 booths here on the show floor. And so that's a record as well. That's almost 200 more than last year. They actually built an extra hall for this show this year, and they're building another hall that will open up next year because this is the biggest show in the Amsterdam.
You know, it's not only that, but if you take a look at Infocom shows all around the world, Annabelle and I are going to be interviewing Terry Friesenberg. Who runs the international, you know, the international side of Infocom.
Right.
And suddenly we have booming shows all over the world, you know, and how that's impacting the show in the U.S. Well, you know, if you talk to the folks on the show management side, we're bringing a lot of new exhibitors here to the U.S. show as well.
Yeah, and more attendees. And in fact, one of the biggest growth areas of attendance last year was people from North America, interestingly enough. This is definitely an international show now, not just a European show.
Well, you know, I mean, I come over here to hang out with Rave mostly as an excuse to come here. No, really, I mean, the coffee and the chocolate are both fabulous. The people are wonderful. The rye leaves a little to be desired with the 12 buildings all separated by cold and rain.
it is a long walk, but they do a great job. They're great hosts. It's easy to get around if you know where you're going.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And everybody speaks English. You know, one of the things I said in my column this month was, this is the only place we could do this kind of show because they're multilingual here in a way that, you know, none of us in the U.S. are.
Yeah, so So having walked around the show, has anything caught your eye, or are we going to have to wait? There's a lot of stuff we can talk about we can't talk about till tomorrow. But what else is that?
The new collaboration product at Sennheiser caught my eye immediately, and I had to do an interview about it. It actually is cool, so take a look for the video. Other than that, actually, this is going to bring out the geek, right? But what really excites me here are chipsets. Aptivision has an amazing, Plethora has an amazing new processing engine for extenders, and to take us into, you know, the HD-based T, but all the way up through 4K and 8K.
Right.
And with interesting things that extenders haven't had in the past, built-in processing.
Well, Aptivision's also... theirs is network-based. So they're actually converting it to network, right?
Yes.
So you put it on the network.
Yeah.
And now, if I read the release correctly, I haven't seen it, but they also have a chip that's 4K.
Yes, they do. They have a chip that'll go beyond that they're talking about. I don't know that they've released, but, you know, that could change if you look at what that's going to do. You see it in chipsets, and the following year you see it in products.
Right.
You know, so it's a matter of you look at the chipset and decide how is this going to affect the products that we'll have available for installation next year.
Well, that brings up a good point, because 4K was sort of like, when it first came out, everybody was talking about it in the realm of image quality and the massive improvement in image quality, which it does. I mean, you look at 4K, it just blows you away. But really, the application in the commercial market is multi-screen display.
Absolutely. I was talking to the LG folks today on the way in and talking about, you know, my firm installs an awful lot of collaboration rooms, and what 4K is about is 4 1920x1080 images.
Right. You know? Native resolution.
Right.
And then now with these new collaboration tools, you're not just slicing them into 25%, 25%, 25%. You can now scale, and you can move things around in any way you want. You're not just doing a 2x2 wall with everything.
Annabelle and I also stopped by and saw a company called Legomaster, who are based here in Amsterdam, who are showing a 98-inch 4K multi-point touchscreen USB. 98-inch.
Who's showing that?
Legomaster. They are Dutch. They went to Infocom last year, but haven't exhibited there yet. And I saw this, and I walked up and started talking to the product manager. And Annabelle and I got out of them it is Mac compatible, which is unusual for a lot of the touchscreens that are out there now. And it's gorgeous, and it's 4K 98-inch. I don't yet, and won't till tomorrow morning, have a price.
Yeah, and so that'll compete with the Planar product. And
right.
Speaking of big touchscreens, InFocus, as you know, recently bought Jupiter Systems.
Right, saw that. Yeah, all of the signs.
Yeah, and it's incorporated into their company. And they're going to launch new products here in the collaboration space. I mean, you can kind of figure out what it is, even though they haven't officially launched it. But you put the Canvas product, right, the Jupyter Canvas product, with InFocus projection, touchscreen monitor, all of a sudden you have a company that's more integrated. But they've also added video conferencing to it using their Kinect technology. So that's going to be interesting to look at. I think InFocus is a company that grew up as a projector manufacturer. By the way, all the noise in the background, they're literally building the show floor. And by the way, when they build the show floor, it's not like they're putting pieces of plastic together. They build out of raw wood components and everything. So, but let me finish my thought. Anyway, InFocus grew up as a projector company. They're now a full-service provider of everything. I mean, they're providing the display technology, but they're also providing video conferencing technology, audio conferencing technology, collaboration, BYOD technology, and the software to control it.
You know, the interesting thing is, and I don't know this yet, does Microsoft have a booth here?
No, actually Microsoft's in some booths. Microsoft's in the Crestron booth, and they're in a few other places, but they don't, that was huge. Last year they had a huge space, and they're not even here.
Yeah, you know, this is the third time that Microsoft has found a way to slowly back out of the video conferencing collaboration industry.
So do you think they're, what do you think about the hub? Do you think they've disappeared and just said
number one, you just saw that they just did a major price raise on it, yeah. Right? Because they can't make it for what they thought. But the other thing is, the penetration of Link, which they depend on for it, you know, lots and lots of my clients have looked at Link and walked away because of issues with on-premise, with Federation, with, I mean, it's just, I mean, I remember Microsoft Live, I remember Microsoft Net Meeting, now I remember Link, and you know, or better yet, Skype for Business. And, you know, more power to them if they can do it, but this is the third time they've tried, and they've never been able to swing the collaboration market their way.
And what's interesting about that, if you follow history, when you do that, you come in and out of our industry, eventually you can't come back. Even if you have a great product, you're going to start upsetting people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at, you know, we're a dealership, right? And one of the things we've been selling has been the Microsoft Link-based video conferencing system, which, of course, is manufactured for them by Polycom. Gone, right? You know, the biggest thing that they ever announced, and then suddenly gone. So, I don't know. I mean, everybody's Link compatible, and I try to keep my customers Link compatible. But compatible and actually using it are two different things.
Well, I mean, obviously, heading over to this, all that you're saying makes Cisco happy and makes them stronger. They've had actually a really good year. Polycom's had a good year.
Polycom's had a great year. Their new product is amazing.
So there are going to be companies to look at. They've actually got a hall of UC and video conferencing products here. A hall about, we didn't talk about digital signage yet, but the whole market's going 4K, the whole market's going to integrated digital signage players. That's a big movement, too, where the players coming out of being an external box and being integrated in a display or put on a USB stick or as a plug-in OPS compatible product. Of course, we've talked about display technology. We talked about the home AV technology that's here. You talked a little bit about audio. What can we expect new in audio? Anything?
Lots on the staging side, lots and lots more compact self-processed line array. I mean, we saw some really, really neat stuff from Bose last year. Of course, from JBL, they've been expanding that Vertec line like crazy. So we're going to see a lot more in compact, high-production boxes that are easier to manage than traditional line arrays. Line arrays, when I first got involved in them, were something you had only your expert audio people work on. Lots of issues with timing and direction. Today, they come out of a box. They are self-processed. And it's a lot easier to use, which gives you a lot more audio power in a lot smaller box. So I think that's going to be soon. Obviously, a lot more in general purpose DSPs. Harman's got some phenomenal product going.
Yeah, they're in front of us, by the way.
Yeah, and not only that, I love the new logo.
Yeah, new branding is good.
Yeah, yeah. It's fascinating. Actually, I had a good friend from AMX and asked me the other day, I said, what do you get when you cross Harman with AMX?
Okay.
Harman.
You're definitely, in fact, it is interesting. The AMX logo is very, very small in their sign. To be fair, as are all the logos. They're definitely pushing the Harman brand.
But look at the Harman line. AKG, yeah. Crown, DSS, DBX, Lexicon. They have such names in audio. It's amazing.
Yeah, and AMX is their only video side. But it was a good acquisition, right? I mean, because the thing that Harman didn't have was video. Now they have video, and they also have this control technology that they can integrate in other products? I mean, ultimately, don't you think it'll play out for them? And do you think there are other acquisitions coming?
I think there's no doubt about that at all. I mean, they've pushed ahead on the consumer side like crazy. My new car has the JBL Synthesis system in it with CarPlay.
Yeah.
It's amazing, right? They've moved heavy into very high quality audio. I mean, and of course, you know, Levinson beyond that is the brand they don't talk about.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, but that's always been part.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of, that's a brand where they try to keep the Harman name off that because it goes into Lexus and Mercedes and they
right.
like to say Levinson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Martin Levinson's got a brand and a design and they acquired that and that's, yeah, I agree with you 100%. In fact, I'm not sure for sure, but I think at CD they may have even had their own booth, separate from the Harman
yeah,
booth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is a home AV, a commercial AV show. They have a rental staging hall with large format LEDs that I know you're going to spend a lot of time in. They've got a control system section. They've got, I mean, this is going to be a great show. Stay tuned. I want to thank you, Joel, for joining us on my Daily Lance Raising. Every day we're going to do a daily podcast where we're going to each pick our favorite products of the day. So I need you to make sure you're paying attention to what you think is one product each day that you think that everyone should go watch a video.
You got it. So that's us live from the Kramer booth here at ISE 2016.
And thanks for listening to my Daily Rants and Raves. And, of course, you can follow along with all of our ISE coverage at ravebuzz.com/ISE 2016. Thanks for listening.